You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
So we covered some pretty big topics this week. We did menopause.
We did meningitis.
Breast cancer.
And my absolute favourite, vaginal tightening devices, with our wonderful guest Michelle Heaton. Okay, so today we are joined by the very glamorous Michelle Heaton. Welcome.
Hello. I don't know if I would say glamorous.
Well, you look very glamorous to me.
Michelle and her new fringe.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I've got a new fringe and lots of hair extensions, which took me about 3 hours to blow dry. So I don't think it's really apt being a mum, because it's not every day I've got 3 hours spare.
Would you say kids have to be a certain age before you can go with a fringe because you need a bit more hands-off time to do it?
I don't know if it's kids being a certain age. It's me being a certain age, because I realise that my forehead moves a lot more and I've got less hair around the hairline. So I've realised that maybe a fringe is apt, but it takes more time. So it depends what your priorities are.
Okay, very good. So as you know, our podcast is called Sweat, Snot and Tears. Tell us, any sweat, snot or tears in your house today?
Today, there was definite sweats by me trying to get ready for today. Because I suffer from hot sweats now and again, and it always comes on because I'm in menopause.
Right.
It always comes on when I'm anxious, or then I realise, oh my gosh, the taxi's actually here and I haven't finished my fringe. So that kind of thing is the sweat. Snots, yes, AJ is now 6 and he picks his nose continuously.
What
but does
can you
he
do
eat
about
it?
That?
He doesn't eat. What? I took him to the doctor's last night.
What about picking his nose?
I tell you why.
See, that's my threat.
Right?
I keep saying, okay, if you do that one more time, I am taking you to the doctor.
Because I keep threatening.
Right.
So, and I never follow through with all of my threats. But he said something to me the other day, and it's been a good 6 months now that his fingers are not out of his nose. And he said it's because he thinks there's something up there. So just in case, you know, you never know, there is, and I've missed a pee or something. And then he says he finds it hard to breathe. And then I'm like, oh my God, he's got corona or whatever. I'm just freaking out, you know, as a mum. And yeah, because he's not one to complain. Faith is melodramatic. She'll complain about everything. And so I don't believe her, even, you know, she's probably got it. But anyway, AJ, I believe. So I did take him. And of course, he goes into the doctor's after having an emergency appointment. I'm so sorry, NHS, for wasting an emergency appointment. However, you gave it to me, knowing what the symptoms were. So took him in. And then he's like, he giggles with the nurse. And she's like, what's wrong, AJ? Mum's telling me off for picking my nose. Mum, why? That's what boys do. Thanks. That's it. Game over. So I'm done. So that's it. All that needed to happen.
Did she even look up his nose?
Yeah,
she
did.
She kind of did after I asked her, because she said, he looks fine. He's got pigment in his cheeks. He's not breathing heavily. There's nothing in his airways. I'm like, I'm thinking, just look up his nose, please, for me.
Please find something
up there. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to make something up. He's saying that he's struggling sometimes to breathe, and I'm thinking, he's not really struggling. I know he's not, but please just look up it for me. So she looked up it. She went, AJ, there's nothing up there. Next time mummy tells you to stop picking yours, you just say, that's what kids do. And I'm thinking, I'm going to wring your neck in a minute. Because that's it. He's going to continually pick his nose.
Yeah. Did she offer any advice about how to get him to stop?
Tell him to stop.
Is that it?
Well, like that works.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the snot. And as with the tears, I'd say it was more Faith, because this morning we told her a massive, big, life-altering moment where we're not going to move house.
Da, da.
She didn't want to move in the first place.
Right.
Okay.
And she's going to have a new bedroom.
Amazing.
Potentially.
But still drama.
Of course, because she figured that her bedroom wasn't going to be as mummy's and daddy's, as big as mummy's and daddy's.
Right. Did you explain that there's two of you and one of her?
Absolutely.
And she's a kid and you were growing up?
Absolutely.
Still not buying it?
No, because she's 8. And 8-year-olds need everything.
Yeah. Oh God, don't they?
And there you go.
So how did it end?
Not great, because she thinks she's the same age as me.
Right.
And I think I'm the same age as her.
Your daughter sounds very like my daughter and Wendy's two daughters.
So my daughter's 8 as well.
Okay.
And the histrionics and the drama. We had a drama about bun donuts this morning.
Why?
Because I'm rubbish. And how do you put hair in a bun donut? I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue.
And I was supposed to know at 8:20 when we leave at 8:25 yes. and she suddenly decided that she needed a bun donut with a net and a scrunchie.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know how to do that. So we had full on
foot stamping. So tonight, are you going to watch YouTube videos on how to do that so that you're ready for tomorrow?
That's what Faith does. She watches her own YouTube videos of how to do her hair. So she does it herself now.
Really?
I think definitely do that, Wendy. Devolve the job to her.
Yes.
It's okay. One less thing for you to do. Right.
Yeah, apart from when she does gymnastics competitions. In fact, yesterday morning, she had a competition during the day at school. She competed with another school in the district. And I had to do a French plait.
Oh,
now, I was up at 6 a.m., right?
Oh, you're a better mum than me.
And I got an
I'm phoning you, and I have gel and everything,
and I got all these bits out. And then I'm Googling the YouTube things, because I've done French plaits before, but you know when you start to panic? And then I start to do it at about 8, and we've got to leave at 8:30, and AJ's not ready. I've got to do the breakfast.
He's already gone to work.
The fringe, all of that stuff. No, mummy, I wanted 2. Oh. And I'm like, 2, okay. So hang on, I'm thinking, okay, so it needs to be parted. Yeah. So that means twice the work. She has 2, crowns, yes.
Oh.
So it's virtually impossible. Do it, mummy. Like, and I'm like,
but anyone else in the world, you'd just say no. Because it's our kids, you're
I know. So did you do it?
Yes.
What did it look like?
Amazing.
Oh!
Well, I think so. She complained that one side
was
wonky.
I think you should launch a new YouTube channel just doing hair.
Trust me. Sorry, as I swallow my water, I'm not that good. Honestly, I think I fluked it once.
Okay.
But she, yeah, I've told her if she wants certain things done by her hair, not that it always works, I kind of now have a rule. The night before we go to bed, I need to know these things because now that she's in middle school.
Get the hair agreed
yes.
before bedtime.
We don't always get told what happens in middle school the next day now. A lot. And it's not the school's fault. It's just that I can't keep up with the amount of things that are happening. Mm. And she goes to a state school, but still there's loads of things. There's maybe 10, I mean, I've paid for tennis lessons. I don't know what day they're on. There's PE. There's 2 days a week. They keep changing it.
Yeah.
Then they have to have their kit ready. And some days she's, I don't want to wear pants today. I want to wear my trouser bottoms. Okay, well, you could have told me that last night. It's all of these things. I need to know the night before. But obviously it doesn't always happen.
Of course it doesn't.
No, of course it doesn't. Okay, so on the kind of health tip about going and getting things removed from noses that weren't even there, you were rushed to hospital recently on holiday. What happened?
I was. I was in Bali.
Oh, nice.
It was. I mean, I know I'm away off and on for work and it all looks really glamorous on social media. But in reality, I've had to like kind of force Huey down to the T and tell him exactly what's going to happen that day. And he's amazing. But I usually have to do childcare and make sure that all of the, every single thing's ready, the uniform, the hair, you know, whatever.
No, but that's a mum thing.
Yeah,
and
I'm
in and out. For day,
exactly.
You've got to get everything ready.
Yeah, so if I'm away to Dubai for one gig, it might be only 2 nights, but it's all of the
it's
prep.
It's a military operation,
yeah.
Basically.
And you come back to all this washing. Bali was the first time that I took time out for me.
Nice.
And I was away for 10 days,
amazing.
What it was supposed to be. And Hugh gave me full blessing.
Wow.
Although now
so
I'm paying for it.
The first time since you've had the kids that you took some proper mum time out in a big chunk.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well
yes.
done, you.
I believe so.
That's
so
brilliant.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue because obviously I do gigs and I'm away.
But that's work. It's not
it
the same.
It is. Because I don't work a lot. So when I do work, I'm usually away.
Yeah.
So this was, for me, it was in a sanctuary just for women. And it was amazing. And I usually get gastroenteritis wherever I go for some reason. I had it. And I just suffered from dehydration. And I had to go on a drip. And
so you finally carved some time out for yourself and you end up on a drip.
Yep.
It's about flipping right for mums,
that's
it?
Pretty much what happens every time.
And then I bet you were just getting well when you got home.
Wasn't even well. Yeah, I had to stay 2 more days because I wasn't allowed to fly.
Oh, really?
And then I was really, really ill on the way home.
Oh, God.
On the flight.
That's really unpleasant.
And I'm trying to come back a better me.
Yeah. You know, and you stagger through the door.
And I'm like, I'm literally going to
come back a husk.
Yes. And then, and everyone's like excited I'm back. And I'm thinking, where's my bed? But of course I missed the kids and my husband, but right at that second I was going to literally keel over.
I also spied on social media, though, that you got a new tattoo in your
I did.
Let's have a look. Right, describe it, because our net mums love a tattoo.
This is a universal symbol for it's to give thanks to the universe. So it's not about a particular god or religion, because I'm not very religious at all. It's just to give thanks to a higher something or whatever it might be. Give thanks to that glass of water in front of me. So that's what it is. And I had already had a tattoo on my wrist of Faith, AJ and Hugh, and three love hearts, but I never had myself. Not that you would write your own name, but the symbol has an M into it. So it was kind of apt that it fit into that whole thing. There you go.
Was it painful?
Nah.
Not so
I've been through worse.
Childbirth or tattoo, which is worse? I've got a tattoo. I would say the tattoo was worse.
Tattoo removal would be worse.
Oh, have you had
that? I've not had removal.
What does that feel like?
Worse.
Why? How though? Because they're just getting rid of it.
It's like being burnt, apparently. It feels like being burnt repeatedly with a cigarette.
Yes.
Oh, how
not
lovely.
That.
That's what I've been told.
Yes. It's awful.
Oh, mm-hmm. I had no idea. God, the things you learn on this podcast.
So if we had to describe your work right now, I guess we'd say you're a menopause spokesperson.
One of.
So how would you describe yourself?
I always like this question.
Okay. Well, I mean, I wouldn't class it as work because I don't get paid to do what I talk about.
But it's your passion.
It's something that I'm really passionate about. Yes, I'm really passionate about getting it into education and into, an employment environment so that people are more aware of what every woman will be going through in different stages.
Let's go back a step and say, how did you end up in this role, even if you don't see it as a job? How did you end up talking about this?
Yeah, for anyone who's landed from Mars and doesn't know the story, can you give us a brief recap?
Okay, brief recap would be about 8.5 years ago. No, I hadn't had Faith just yet.
Okay.
I found out that my dad carried the BRCA2 gene, which is the cancer gene that basically increases the risk of breast and ovarian cancer.
Yes.
And then male breast cancer and testicular cancer. And it's 50-50 chance whether he passes it down.
Yeah.
It was kind of at the point where everyone was unaware of it. You know, Angelina Jolie hadn't had it yet, that kind of thing. And then I got tested after I had Faith.
Did you request the test or did someone say we recommend it? Okay.
No, nothing was recommended. It was like an informal letter from the NHS saying, do I want to be tested?
Okay.
Which I hadn't replied to in 6 months.
Right.
And then when I had Faith, I found out, without being really aware of it all, that if I did have it, then I could pass it down to her.
Yes.
And if I wasn't tested, she would never be tested.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a direct maternal link. So even if my dad had it,
she wouldn't be offered the test without you having the test.
Yeah.
So you felt a sense of responsibility.
Yes. So then I was tested 6 weeks after she was born. And then 6 weeks later, I got the results and it was positive.
And how did that feel?
Oh, don't make me cry.
But 12 weeks in, you're a blubbering wreck anyway. Mm. You've got no sleep. Everything
hurts.
Your hormones are all over the place.
And you're bursting with love for this tiny little thing.
And she was on my knee. And we had the results at Great Ormond Street Hospital, which was difficult going through, you know, leaving, seeing all of these sick kids. And Faith's not sick. And I'm not sick, but being told all of that. And my husband was there, obviously. And it was just, the whole thing was a bit of a blur. I didn't really know much about it, but obviously we got told a lot of information. And then I immediately made the decision to have a total mastectomy.
See, I'm fascinated by that. It was immediate. It didn't take ages for you to reach that conclusion.
Mm-mm. No, I'm really all or nothing kind of person, hence the tattoos. Mm. That morning I woke up and thought I wanted that tattoo, so I went and got it. Mm-hmm. I just knew that the risks were too high at 85%. And they told me, because they do like the family tree. And they told me that my my grandma and her mum had breast cancer in their late 30s.
Wow, that's so early. They take
that into consideration.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what do I need my boobs for anyway, really? I mean, look, it wasn't about a boob job where I was going bigger. I haven't. I was very adamant about that. It was just that I would have obviously not been able to breastfeed if I had any more kids. But I thought that was like the least of my problems if as long as I'm still here. And at that point, yeah. screening wasn't as peripheral as it is now.
Yeah, okay. So then you went on to have your son.
Yes.
And then you made some more decisions.
Yes. So pre-giving birth to AJ, or actually conceiving, we decided that the risks of ovarian cancer were also too high because my grandma and her mum both had ovarian cancer in their early 40s. So they, again, take that into consideration. So we decided that we were probably going to give it another year or two and then I would have the total hysterectomy or my ovaries removed at that point. But we weren't trying to get pregnant because I remember I was on tour for the big reunion. And I said to Hugh, right, let's try after, because the last thing I want to be is heavily pregnant on the big reunion.
Yeah.
And without going into too much detail, I was working so much that year. I remember there was one day in band camp, and that was the only day.
The one hit wonder.
That was it. And boom, got pregnant with AJ.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. So we took that as a sign to get things moving. So I was 8 months pregnant when I did the big reunion Christmas tour.
Delightful.
Amazing, right? Brilliant. I felt ridiculous. But then little AJ comes along. And then I had my total hysterectomy 6 months after that. Because I had to wait.
Which was more grueling for you, the double mastectomy or the hysterectomy?
Oh, without a doubt, the hysterectomy. Because it was always a talk about just taking the ovaries out, which would be in keyhole. A lot, you know, was still recovery and I still would have went into menopause. But they had said that because of my two C-sections, they weren't sure where all of the organs were.
Right.
Because everything moves around,
it
doesn't it?
They don't tell you that when they're ripping out a kid and, you know, they stitch you back. They're not bothered where the ovaries are because they're still attached. They just stitch you back up. So there was a chance I would wake up and not be able to move for 6 weeks as opposed to the next day. So I had to make a decision because Hugh was way a lot. I've got two young kids. I needed to know what I was going to wake up to, in effect. And,
yeah, as a parent, you need to be prepared. It's almost, you'd rather be prepared, but it'd be worse than not be prepared.
Yeah,
but also you were already in a situation where you were doing disaster planning.
Of course.
So if you're going to disaster plan to have a, you might as well do the whole thing.
Yes.
And be done.
Yes.
And get it sorted.
Yes, absolutely.
But
yes.
It's major surgery.
Mm, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, life changing because of, you know, my body and the way it looks. But set that aside for a second. I can't even explain menopause and
so,
everything.
And how quickly does it start? So, like, you wake up, you've had your hysterectomy. When do you start to notice that you're...
It's really weird because it's instantaneous.
Serious.
But they put in an... I had an implant put in because I was so young of estrogen and testosterone... Well, estrogen at the time, to replace what my body would... normally
would
make.
Be losing.
Okay.
But it's not like, but I didn't, obviously you don't know, right? I'm thinking I'm going to wake up and think I'm like, oh, who's this? But it's not like that. It doesn't hit you like that. It's not instantaneous. It's something that creeps up on you now and again. And I suppose over the years, it's got a lot worse a little bit. I'm slowly getting to grips with it a little bit more now, but it got worse, I think, because I'm trying and testing different levels of hormones to get myself right. But I don't think you're ever going to be right because what you think is right is your old you.
Right.
I think it's really difficult because I want my old me and it's gone.
And it's like
saying goodbye to her.
Do you still feel
that? Yeah.
That's very emotional.
But I think it changes a lot. I think, am I right in what you're saying is how you felt 2 years ago is different to how you feel now and different to how you'll feel again in 2 years because the hormones keep changing.
Yeah, kind of. You see, there isn't any right answer because everyone's hormones in their body initially is different levels anyway. So it's not like you take a magic pill and then you're done. Everyone has different effects. And not everyone will have bad effect from menopause.
Yes.
Like, I'm not disastrous. There's worse people out there than me. I think for me, I'm struggling because I'm dealing with the two kids that are irritating me as well. So my irrational behaviour is heightened. So that's not fair on the kids. And it's only after I scream and shout when really I could be more calm, but then every mum's the same as well. Where do you then go, it's just being a mum, or it's hormones, or it's because Hugh's not picked up his sock again. Whatever it might be, where do you say it is? It's difficult.
Would you say the effects for you were more emotional then or more physical? Which did you struggle with more?
Oh, definitely emotional and mental.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd say physical. It's not pleasing, but I haven't really been hung up. You know, like weight shifted and certain areas are puffier and bigger, but that's not the be-all or end-all for me.
Note, she's probably the skinniest person I've ever met.
No,
so this is
no. And do you know what? But I have struggled with weight. I do fluctuate. It might not be apparent to the naked eye, but it is to you.
If you know, it matters.
Yes. And it's how you feel about yourself.
And then that has a knock-on effect with anxiety as well. But I think things like lack of sleep has a knock-on effect in general to everybody's well-being, and I've had a lot of lack of sleep and an irritability, hot sweats usually at night. I wake up maybe an hour after I fell asleep and I think it's time to wake up because my body's woke me up and I'm lying there and I'm sweating and I want to cry.
Oh.
And then like he was knocked out because he sleeps really well, and I got to change my pillow and my covers, and it doesn't happen all the time. It's not always that bad, but I'd say at least once or twice a month I'm in that scenario. But I suppose mentally and emotionally, it's how do you recognise something that's just bulldozes you, but then might not be always that. We have a right to be really annoyed when something really upsets us. Like our kids running away from us in a car park.
Yeah.
Why can't I share with them?
I guess how it normally works is that your children would be older when you go through the menopause. Mm-hmm. So most people aren't having to deal
That's
with this
thing.
Double whammy of little kids and hot flushes and anxiety and all of the things that come with it. So are your kids aware of the issue?
Yeah, I've never hid it from them.
But how far do you go? Because obviously for Faith, both of them, they may be potential carriers of the BRCA gene, right?
Yes.
How do you tackle that?
Sorry. We didn't mean to set you off.
No, it's incredibly hard. I'll share a little bit here. So in my family, my mum has had breast cancer 3 times and one of her sisters 3 times. And we've been through the testing that you've had. And actually for us, we've tested negative for BRCA. But what they've said is there clearly is a gene in your family. They're just calling it an unknown gene. So I know a bit about having to make these horrible decisions about having tests and whether you tell kids about it or not. It's incredibly, incredibly difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, poor Michelle.
It's, do you know what? It's not making any excuses. I've got a bit of a double whammy because Faith got told before I told her.
Oh dear. How did
Thank
that
you.
Happen?
Oh, well, you know, used to be a pop star. It's hard.
Oh God, it wasn't
because
like
people,
someone at school or something,
yeah.
Was it?
So it was taken out of your hands.
Yeah. So it's, she came on one day and said, did I have an operation on my boobs? You know,
so
things
old
like
was
that.
She? How
oh, I can't remember.
But
now.
Little, because she's not that big.
Yeah,
now, is
it was good. I'd say it was a good couple of years ago because it was when we wrote the book. It was. It's just difficult because I'm dealing with when's the right time, and then I'm fighting social media and the fact that it's everywhere
and
all the siblings
old
and she's
start
old
looking
enough.
At stuff. Yeah.
So I've always decided, and so is Hugh. Obviously, it's a joint decision.
Yeah.
That we're open, and if she knocks me oh, watch my boobs. You know, when we had an operation, so it's just a thing.
Yeah, everyday normal thing.
Yeah, and then AJ's now coming to terms with it because he knocked me once, and it doesn't hurt, but I can feel a knock, and you know, I don't want anything to happen. So then, and then Faith goes, oh, remember AJ when we had an operation on her boobs, and AJ goes, sorry, mummy. That's heartbreaking.
Oh,
but, you know, it has to be, I don't want it to come to a point where you go, sit down, I'm going to tell you everything.
I completely agree. I'm not a fan of the big sit down.
No.
The big reveal. Yeah. It's not cool.
But I've kind of been open because she has asked, well, I need two, mummy. And I said, maybe, baby. And then obviously tried to hold back the tears.
Yeah, that's hard.
But then I say, but... this was a long time ago and things have evolved already.
Oh, massively. I remember when I went in to make the decision. So my risk has been put at 30%, not 85% as high as yours. And I went to talk to the breast surgeon about it and saying, you know, with a 30% risk, would you recommend a mastectomy and all of that stuff? And I had my daughter with me who was at that stage, like a tiny toddler baby lying in a pram. And then I got upset and said, and what about her? And he literally waved his hand in the air and he went, oh, for God's sake. He said, by the time she's grown up, this won't be an issue at all. There'll be a solution for this.
Yes.
And I felt so relieved.
Yes.
It felt like the weight of the world.
Yeah, even after about 3 years of my mastectomy, screening had got better and maybe I didn't necessarily need it. But it was at that point in time.
But that was
nobody
right
can recommend. Yeah, it was the right
point.
Decision for me. Yes.
And where she is in 10 years' time.
Oh, we just totally.
Won't know.
Yes. No, exactly. Exactly.
And how did she react then when you said, maybe. Yeah, you might? Did she take, because
Faith,
it was an everyday
Faith is
conversation.
Like an alien. She's just really weird. She's like, okay. I don't know what it is. She's just, I look at her thing and I think, if you hadn't come out my body, you're not my child. I don't understand. She's just...
We all have those thoughts.
Yeah, I know. Like, she's my best friend, but my worst enemy. And I think that's a girl thing or maybe an elder thing. Yeah, she pushes me so much. Yeah,
they know exactly which
buttons then, to push. And then you're longing for them to love you. And then you're like, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. And I'm like, why are you talking to me like that? Like what? Like that? Just say sorry properly. Sorry. No, that's not sorry
she
properly.
She knows something. You're actually making me feel so much better because my daughter is very like that and it's been really bothering me lately. I've been thinking, my God, what have I done wrong?
How old is she, 6?
Do I not relate to her properly? Is there something wrong with me? But actually hearing you talk about this is making me feel a lot better.
It's about, I suppose, understanding them. And I listen, I don't understand mine at all and I don't adhere to this. But in our day, the way that we spoke to our parents, we would never. But they're living in a different age where they know no different.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. So it's about relating to the way that they're growing up and the way that they're feeling, because they're all feeling more emotional and attacked by the parents because we expect them to behave the way we did. Mm. And they're not going to. It's still hard
it's
to
really
accept.
Hard. I was going
to
say,
and I don't know what to do.
In a way, it's nice that they're being... Well, it's amazing that they're being brought up in an era where they have a voice. You know, like, in that kids views are...
Really? Just for no, record, you know, we're shaking our heads here. Yeah. Well, Annie is spouting off about her voice.
We would hate to see a return to, like, the Victorian...
No, totally.
Like,
true.
You know, children should be seen and not heard, blah, blah, blah. Like, we'd never want that. But, yeah, I understand that.
But I want them to have a voice with someone else, not necessarily always with me.
Yes, it's always me.
It is.
She's so nice to Daddy.
Daddy can do
and
no
And is your
wrong.
Experience that AJ is very different? Because my son is so different to my daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's now 6 and he is he's very, very attentive and loving. But he's obsessed with his Switch or gaming system and he's only 6, but you show me a 6-year-old these days that doesn't have something and it comes to a point where to get him off, it's a full on breakdown.
So how do you manage it then? Have you got screen time rules in your house? I'm always fascinated.
I do.
By this.
So they're allowed it. Once they're up, they get ready for school. I always lay out their clothes the night before. And they get ready for school by themselves now.
Good.
Brush their teeth, do their face. I'll always check them, obviously. And then they're allowed their iPad until I've made their breakfast. So maybe about 20 minutes, whatever it might be. And that's it. And then when they come home from school, you see, home's from school's erratic these days.
Well,
some
so
days
clubs,
they have clubs or play dates. So there's no real rule. It's more that I will allow it when I'm cooking the dinner, because otherwise I can't cook dinner. And it's unfortunate that that's the day and age that we're living in. But like, it's all well and good, these keyboard warriors at home going, let them play a game. Okay, you try and let them play a game without them making you play it with them. So then dinner doesn't get made. Yeah. All of a sudden they can't play snakes and ladders because they don't know how to play it. Mummy, you have to play it with me. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to need to make the dinner. So it's just difficult. It has become a babysitter. But I think that there should be rules. I don't always adhere to it. But I do think that two parents should be on the same page.
And are you both on the same page?
No. No.
I love your honesty.
No.
What does he think and what do you think?
Do you know what? He thinks the same as me. He just doesn't do the same as me.
Are you bad cop?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that I'm right, but he's fun daddy. You see, because he doesn't, I suppose, like, I'm not bagging him out, he's amazing, but because I suppose I'm thinking about the mopping of the floor or the hoover or whatever it might be, he has more fun time with them. And so that has an imprint on their memory. I'd love to have more fun time with them, but I can't live in filth. So yeah, I don't know what the right balance is. Mm. Yeah, there you go.
So going back to the menopausal thing for a minute, you were talking about how it's harder because your kids are younger. And, you know, we all have mornings where we want to throw their school bag at them because they won't get ready for school or whatever. And one of my good friends is in early menopause and she calls it her M&Ms. So she says she's having the Madam Monies and it's all to do with menopause. And it's usually to do with kid-related triggers. So do you get them and how do you handle them?
It usually is all kid-related triggers, actually. If I'm honest, I'd say about 90% of them are.
Husband-related?
Husband-related? Oh, yeah, that as well, of course. I'm trying not to be too hard on him because he's a great guy. But it usually is kids, in fairness. And I try and be calm. Mummy's not going to shout today. And I'm thinking
I'm
thinking,
tomorrow,
yeah, of course they are.
Tomorrow I'm not going to criticise them at all.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not going to do this today. We're not going to argue today. We're going to be calm. Would you like to get ready for school? No. Are you going to get up? Don't want to go to school today. Okay, no worries. Okay, and I'm thinking what to do. Come back up 10 minutes later. Faith, you're going to get up ready for school in a minute. Okay, but in a minute we have to go, Faith. So, and I'm like, and then it gets louder and louder. Get out now, otherwise you're going to be late for school again. And everyone's looking at me. All right, Mum, you don't have to shout. And I'm thinking, what I did? Because you got me to that moment. I don't think it's always menopause.
Oh, no, I have. That's
a mad mum moment. So it's hard to differentiate, to be honest.
Yeah, it must be. It must be hard as well, though. Like you just mentioned there that everyone's looking at you if you're late. As a mum who's instantly recognisable, do you feel under more pressure than the average mum? I mean, I must bring up the really
that
hideous situation that you were
incident.
Found in where you were dealing with your kids having meltdowns and there were people filming you. I mean, it's hard enough being a mum as it is without that pressure on top. That must have been hellish.
It's not ideal, I've got to admit. And I am aware that I think that things are exaggerated in people's, in people's minds if I am late or I do yell, oh, look, see, told you she was a bad mum or whatever. And it's not great, I'm going to admit. But
aware of it all the time or just sometimes?
I play it down because there's most mums that aren't like that. And I can see that they're scared to even look because they think that I think that they're looking.
Oh, okay.
So it's I've got that side of it as well, where I think some people are worried about talking or even looking to a normal mum, which I am at school, in case they think I think they're talking to me because I'm in a band. You can't win. So as
but
all
that's
you
parenthood.
That's
you
parenthood.
Can't win
yeah, you can't
anything.
Win at anything. I can just be as open as I can be. If I'm late, I'm late. If I turn up, I turn up always in a cap, and it's got nothing to do with to being, hidden or anything. It's literally because I haven't done my fringe. And that's pretty much it.
I love the way The Fringe is like your third child now.
It really is. I know, it's killing me.
But that's every... We've all had that. It's a, you know, classic supermarket meltdown. Or, and that's always terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because menopausal or not, you get the sweat. You get that creep that goes up your neck. They're laying on the floor. And then usually some 60-year-old comes up to you and goes, well, in my day.
Yeah.
That's crap whether you're famous or not. But then to know that someone is filming that and then it's on the internet and people are talking about it, it must have just been hideous.
Yeah, because what you want to do is grab them
by
their
the
arm,
ear or arm.
And go, you don't get up now and say something you're not really going to do. But get up. What do you do? You can't touch them. I can't drag them by their feet. They're not going to get up.
No.
It's a lose-lose situation in general. And then sometimes we are late for school. And I want to say to the teachers, it's because she wouldn't get out of bed or get ready. And then maybe get up earlier. And I'm thinking, oh, God.
Yeah, it's
okay, really? We have got up early. I was up at 6 o'clock doing a pigtail today. You know, it's... But everybody goes through it. Everybody.
Yeah, you don't have to be famous to be mum shamed. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
we've all felt the glare of people in the street when the kids... screaming in the buggy or whatever. And
there was this little old lady when Chloe was first born, and it was a really hot, she was born in September and it was a really mild October, and I'd walked up to the doctors for jabs or something. She was in her pram thing, and this little old lady peered in, and I thought she was going to say something really nice, and she went, not even a hat.
What did you say?
I cried.
Oh, you see, that's it. You see, that's what I
just
do. I cry.
Did she see you cry?
Yeah.
And did she say sorry?
No, she just tutted a bit more and toddled off.
Yeah.
People just don't realise the effect their words have, do they? Do you find that a lot on social media as well?
Yes.
People hiding behind social media and saying things they'd never say to your face.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because, you know, you don't want to read negative comments But unfortunately, for some reason, as soon as you click on to social media, the negative one seems to stand out and bold.
Leap out of the page.
And it's usually nonsense. But I think the only time that I really comment, because there's a few, is when they've misunderstood the connotation of what I'm trying to say or have in that. Well, actually, this is it.
Because context is so hard to convey in like... a sentence, isn't it? Or a photo, or a picture.
Yeah. Well, if I had the money, I'd get that done too. And I'm in menopause but I can't. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, actually it was free. And it wasn't free because I'm famous. She's actually my friend. And she qualified as doing eyebrow tattooing years before I was famous. And I've known her for years. And I went, and I want to do it for her and say how amazing my friend is. And that was it. Oh, no, I didn't mean like that. But if we all had money, and then you just, well, now you're taking it somewhere else.
But then you've gone down the rabbit hole.
And then I've gone
down
the rabbit hole.
She'd never said anything.
Do you try not to read the comments? How do you handle it? What's the best way to stay sane?
I read them now and again, but I don't really read them that much anymore. I've come off Facebook. I felt like it wasn't really, I felt like it was just taking up a lot of time. And it was a personal one.
Yeah.
And I figure that if anyone's my real friend, they have my number.
Yeah, I'm a big on that.
And I've never thought about that before. That's quite a wise thing to think about.
And then how
really wise.
But you're on Insta. I follow you on Insta.
Yes.
How much time does that take?
I'm not probably as proactive as a lot of people, to be honest. Now,
does it feel like part of the job, or do you actually just quite like doing it anyway?
It's definitely part of the job in general. But that's the way that the world is. However, I don't really mind it because I try and put things up that are actually relatively real, without any Photoshop.
Like a carrot
A carrot in the bath. Oh my God, thank you.
I know,
there
I
you
loved
go.
That.
Who does that?
You,
I love
clearly.
It. I know, my manager's outside.
I eat in the bath as well.
And she's
it's
like,
Glenn. No.
And then sometimes Ali, she's outside listening, and she's like, oh, it looks great in the moment. You've got some beautiful pictures. And then I put up a carrot in a bath.
And she's like, oh, no.
It's multitasking. You've got to have a bath. You've got to eat. You can wash your
hands. You've got to have a bath and eat. Eat a cream bun. Don't eat a carrot.
I'm trying to be healthy at the minute. It's terrible. But I think the thing is that people don't understand with social media is we don't see DMs unless we follow them, right? So now and again, when I do look at my direct messages on Instagram... Now and again, I say, because I'm aware that about 10 or 12 a day are usually women asking for help, what they're going through. Aww. And it pains me because I can't keep taking on loads because I don't know all the answers. And I'm not a specialist.
Do you have a route that you refer them to?
Yeah, is there somewhere you always refer them on to?
It's difficult because, when you get into conversation... Unfortunately, it's more, and I want to give more, and then I'm the kind of person that gives more.
So then you're up till 2 a.m.
Yes.
Someone trying to help.
Yes, but then when you don't reply,
They get nasty. Oh,
wow. They get very nasty, and I can't keep doing it because it takes a lot of energy away from my family.
Yeah.
And me, when I'm struggling.
And it's a lot of pressure because, like you say, you're not a doctor.
I say the wrong thing.
Yeah, what if you said the wrong thing?
So it's
do you work with any charities?
God, loads of different charities. And I do a lot of, speaking events for menopause in general. But then not everybody gets directed to the right charity because it depends on... It's not just a charity they need directed to. Maybe they need to go and see their doctor or they need a counsellor or they need better hormone therapy. It's
not
as easy.
Everyone.
Yeah, you can't. It's not as easy as saying, right, you go talk to that person. It's what works for that person.
Yeah, and what their issue is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's really hard to stay on top of. Really, really hard. Now, Wendy, I'm going to throw the next question over to you because I know you're dying to ask this one.
Vaginal tightening devices. I have to ask.
It was a lot more pleasurable than I had imagined it would be.
This is what I want to know.
Come on, spill.
Well, I mean, I suppose I've been very open with incontinence after the kids, regardless of having C-sections. It just
Wendy and I talk about this often.
We do.
Yeah. There's a lot. And with the kids being young... there's lots of flip-out parties and trampoline parties so on. And I'd usually be the one going straight in there for an hour and a half, and I still think I am. But then after a few minutes, I realise I'm not.
Uh-oh.
And then, I am 40 and in menopause, and I've had the operations and so on and so forth, and the list could go on. It's a big worry for me, and it's not the outside, it's the inside that counts. I think because a lot of the inside controls what happens on the outside, and they the product came along and offered help without it being a campaign, and I tried it, and in fact Ali, my manager, was downstairs in my living room when I was upstairs. Right, using it.
And she
vibrated. How is it? Get away! Leave me alone! Just let me do this. What does it feel like? What do you want me to say? It's in my vagina. it did actually really help. Without it being invasive.
What does it look like?
Is it like a tampon?
No, you wish.
What does it look like then?
Oh, what do you mean? I can't see it in my head now.
How big is it?
Hang on. I don't know. It's a plane. I don't know. What's how big is a piece of string? How long is a piece of string even? It's like a small hair curler.
Okay.
Oh.
But how?
Right? I don't know. You put me on the spot. I'm trying to see it in my mind.
She's having a flush now. Just.
I am. It's like a small hair curler.
Okay.
Ish, yes.
And you put it up there?
With a little bit of gel.
And then what do you do?
Press the button.
And lay there and think of England? Or do you have to clench?
No. It's the whole point is that it's like infrared signals that it pulses. And it just warms up very slightly. It's actually, it's no pain. It's very comfortable. You don't feel it. And you take 20 minutes to yourself. So it's a great
excuse. So it takes 20 minutes?
Well, yeah. I think there's different levels.
Depending on what you need.
Right. I mean, we're talking about, I did this a year ago now, but it's done what it needs to do. And then you go back to it in time.
Right.
If you need to. So it's not something you need to do every week, for example.
Okay. Oh, okay. And what effects did you notice?
Well, that I wasn't weeing when I jumped on the trampoline.
Nice,
helps.
Nice. Okay. Good.
Yeah, that was pretty much my main concern. And I suppose I don't really want to go into...
Is it expensive?
Oh, gosh, now you're testing me.
All right, we'll go
I'm not sure the exact price, but it's a lot less money than it would be if you went to... Yeah, if you went to... Because it's, I think it has the same levels of effectiveness that it would do if you went to a consultant,
like
for example.
A posh clinic.
Yes, a posh clinic. Yes, yes. So it's the first thing that's on the market that has that.
And it's a lot less invasive than having any kind of treatment, right?
I don't want to be, you know...
Wow.
Down. I don't want you to have anything down there right now. No, exactly. I've had enough of that.
Yeah, you have. I think you've done your time.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it. Okay, right. Well, we'll report back once we've had a go.
So one of our final questions we'd like to ask you is, what was the last parenting thing that you Googled?
Oh, gosh. Can it be medical?
Yeah. It usually is.
Faith had a rash on her belly. About 2 weeks ago when we were in Brighton and we were away for a week, and it wasn't going down when you did the test, and now Aidy had meningitis when he was 6 weeks old.
Did he? I never knew that.
And she didn't really have a temperature, she didn't look ill, but it was a pinprick rash that was going purple.
And wasn't going down.
Fading under a glass.
Yeah, it wasn't bland at all. And we've been, you know, we've all been down that road loads of times. Is it, isn't it? Is it viral? Is it not? And you can see a definite blanch. And sorry, you can't always see a definite blanch until it doesn't blanch.
And then you know. That's scary.
And it didn't blanch.
So what did you do?
Well, Googled. He was like, Googled it. I'm like, look, it goes purple and it's very definite pinpricks, and it was all over her belly.
And did she have a temperature?
We didn't have anything with us, so it was difficult to tell, and it was about midnight at this time.
It's always
so
midnight.
She was a little bit, it's always midnight. It's always going to be when A&E's like busy. So rang 111, who are always amazing, rang back, got an out of doctor's appointment at the local hospital. She was still there for about 3 hours. And then they said that we were right to bring her in, which was great, because sometimes you don't hear that.
That they're like pretty when you certain, take your child with something
exactly,
up their nose.
Listen, and there's nothing there. And they're 99% certain it isn't, but they're going to take her blood anyway.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Yes. So that was great, because the fact that they even had 1% doubt made me feel slightly better that I wasn't overreacting.
Yes,
now, it wasn't.
True.
She was fine. And she had the vein in her hand.
Oh, the cannula.
Which I know is the worst pain ever. And Hugh said she was amazing, which makes me really happy and proud. But the fact that they went to that length almost gives me satisfaction that I didn't overreact, even though it wasn't. Because it didn't
blanch.
I think with
rashes, you have to.
And that's
do
the point, yeah. It doesn't always come up on Google as well. I think mother's instinct is best. AJ never had a rash.
That's what I was going to ask. How did you find out?
Yeah,
didn't
so
have a rash. He didn't have
a
temperature.
Tiny.
He was just always sick. And he didn't look well. He had reflux and they kept giving him different medicine and he wasn't putting on weight. And this was 6 weeks. It was a Sunday afternoon. We were in Nando's, I think. And he was sick again. And I just burst out in tears. I mean, at that point, I was suffering a bit postnatal depression because I couldn't breastfeed him. And there was loads of things going on. But I was like, something's not right. Anyway, we rushed him to A&E.
So you just trusted your instinct?
I just trusted. And then within 20 minutes, they said, how long has he had the 41 degree temperature for? And I'm like, he didn't. Because, you know, at that age, you travel around with temperature things.
And you're holding them all the time when they're that small.
And then 45 minutes later, we had a lumbar puncture and he had meningitis.
Oh, my goodness me.
And he's all okay now? He's come out the other end and he's good?
We think so.
Oh, bless
him. Yeah, we think so.
Intensive care.
I stayed with him in isolation for 5 days until they gave him all of the antibiotics and because it's a flushy system. And then he was fine. But obviously things that may appear in the future, it's kind of annoying because now he can't see without his glasses on. He has very bad eyesight.
And do they think that's related?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Again. It could be. He's very small.
Is his hearing okay?
That's questionable. But again, it's something that I think that they can properly test when he's a little bit older. They've tested it, as in he's not deaf. but it's questionable whether it's perfect. But his eyesight was really bad. He didn't learn to read properly at all. And we thought he was that there was something else.
Yeah.
So things like that, dyslexia is a possibility now. We're getting that tested. So things like that could be. It could be just be him. We don't know.
Yeah.
So how long was he, did he have to have treatment for? How long
it was, it's exactly 5 days. Right. 5 days of just literally.
That's so tough. I feel like you deserve some kind of gold medal as a family.
No, do you know what? I need a glass of wine.
The number of health like interactions you've had with like hospitals.
It's only when you talk about
and,
it.
I know.
That you read, that you see.
I find
but
as a
it's not like a, you know, it's not like a, asking for sympathy.
As a parent, it's always after the event. In it, you go into coping mode, don't you find?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you, like you're really emotional, so you're almost quite numb, but you're just like, right, we've got to do this, we've got to survive. And then like you say, after the event, when you talk about it, that's when you start to get really emotional, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you have these two silly old women asking you questions about it, making you cry.
No, because you never really get to talk about it much. And then
that's
when you
a
do,
very good story, though. It's, and it's really about trusting your instinct with a baby.
Oh,
who
totally.
Can't tell you that they don't feel
no,
well.
No, they can't. And it and he had no rash.
But it's so funny because you say it was Sunday afternoon. Something clicks. We've both had health things with our kids where something clicked and we decided, right. And it turned out to be something really scary. And it's like, okay, somewhere inside you know, don't you? That something to do with that day, that time, you had to go and get him checked out.
Yeah, exactly.
God, you did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we're going to lighten the tone now.
Yes.
Over to you, Annie.
So for our last two questions, we
this
always...
This might make her cry.
Okay.
Oh. It might make us cry, actually. We always like to ask our guests to imagine you're putting us to bed. Sing us your lullaby. Because every family has a little song that they always sing to their kids at bedtime.
Oh, gosh.
Do they? Do you have a song?
Or a saying or something that you...
I used to do something like, I love you, you love me, we are one big family. That was it.
It helps that you can actually really sing.
I think that, yeah, that was what we used
that
to do.
That wouldn't sound as good if Wendy no.
But what I do it. Is every night I say, I love you more than the moon and the stars and wait until they say, and the sky.
No. And I'm going to cry now. So I think we better switch off. Thank you so much, Michelle Heaton.
You're
You've
more
been
than
absolutely
welcome.
Fabulous.
It's
Thank
been
you.
A pleasure. Thank you very
An
much.
Absolute pleasure.